Jesus Christ died on the cross. We look at that today. We remember that. We celebrate that on Friday. It was the Friday that He was nailed to the cross. And we want to look tonight. We want to see a picture. We want to envision Him and what He went through on that Friday, on a day just like today. And this morning, Allison and I were talking, and I noticed it was 9:15 a.m. and it just hit me. I said, they nailed Him to the cross about 15 minutes ago. And then I noticed later through the day, hours later, it just kind of caught my attention again. And at noon, then everything went dark. The sky went dark. I'm sure the people were baffled. What's going on? In the middle of the day, noon, and darkness covers the land. And I looked at my watch again a little bit after that, and it had been a long time. And it just kind of hit me. My goodness. Kids, I don't remember who I was with. Allison, you realize He's been on the cross all this time, just hanging on those nails. All these hours, just suffering. Until He's dead. And then 3 o'clock, 6 hours later, He gave up His spirit. He died for you and for me. And so we want to go there. We want to remember that. We want to look at the 7 last words that He spoke from the cross. And when I say words, I mean sayings. What were the 7 last things that He said as He died on that cross? And we're gonna look at those. We're gonna read those in this service. And then we want to ask you at the end of the service to leave in silence. We want to ask you not to say anything, because when Jesus is dead, there's nothing more to be said. Until Resurrection Sunday, when we come back. So we ask you, when you leave this evening, to leave in silence. There'll be a couple of the doors open, and you should be able to see with the light coming in. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this time together. Lord, thank You for gathering us here. Thank You for gathering Your people here together. Lord, to remember what You went through on that Friday. And Lord, we know that You went through horrific pain, horrific suffering. We know that it was horrible for You. We can't even comprehend what You went through, but we know that it was good for us. And so we call it Good Friday, because we know that through what You did, we find forgiveness. We thank You that through what You did, we find payment for our sins. Thank You for offering Yourself as a sacrifice and going through all You went through that day to purchase us with Your blood, that we could be forgiven, cleansed, purified, raised to walk in new life and to be with You for all eternity. We thank You, Lord. Would You be with us this evening and speak to our hearts? Whatever message You have, may we leave this place obeying You. We pray it in Your name, Jesus. Amen.
Hymn number 186, The Old Rugged Cross. We'll sing just the first and the third stanza. Let's stand together as we sing.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best
First word, Luke 23, 33 through 34. When they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and one on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.
The second word, Luke 23, 39 through 43. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
The third word, John 19, 25 through 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. And he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home.
Turn now in your hymnal to hymn number 185. Hymn 185, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. We'll sing just the first and the third stanza.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and poor contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingle all down. Bid such love compose so rich a crown.
Blessed Lord Jesus, there are none like you. As you suffered, as you were dying on that cross, you were still thinking of others. You were asking the Father to forgive those that were crucifying you. You were thinking about your mother. You asked John to take care of her. Lord, you gave the man on the cross next to you who was seeking, who believed in who you were, and you gave him the gift of eternal life. You told him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you think of each one of us here, that your thoughts toward us are like the grains of sand. I thank you that you are constantly and continuously reaching out to each one of us here. And Father, how will you not give us all things that we need? You gave us your own Son. Lord, we thank you. Lord, continue to speak to us through this sacrifice that you made. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
The fourth word, Mark 15, 33 and 34. Now, when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?
The fifth word, John 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst.
The sixth word, John 19:29-30. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit.
The soldiers tried to clear the narrow streets, but the crowd pressed in to see this man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way on suffering, like a lamb in the Messiah, Christ the King. And he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. La Via Dolorosa, triste día en Jerusalén. Los soldados le abrían paso a Jesús. Mas la gente se acercaba
cut a bit of care from the chaos. Por la vida dolorosa y esta vida del dolor, como deja vino Cristo, deje sin dolor. Y fue el que quiso ir por su amor, por ti, por mí. Por la vida dolorosa al Calvario y a morir. The blood that would cleanse the souls of all men made its way through the heart of Jerusalem. Now the Via Dolorosa on the way of suffering, like a lightning from a fire, and he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, walking that road of Calvary, dying for you and for me. Well, who was he? Who was this? We know Jesus Christ died on the cross, but who is that? Who is he? Who was he? What makes it so special? Does it matter who he was? Well, if you were seeking a job and you ended up getting a great job with a great company, and you didn't know who the boss was, who the CEO of this company was, and one day you were in the break room and the CEO that founded the company came walking in, but you didn't know who he was. And he came walking in and you just kind of glanced at him and looked at him. You thought, well, he looks like he works in the mailroom. He's probably in the mailroom. And you guys were in there together, and let's say he thought of something. He knew who you were and your new position, and he thought of something. He had a great idea for you, and he said, I would love for you to get this so-and-so, and maybe you could get this done. And you said, well, that's all right. I'm really, really busy. I've got a lot to do already. Well, I don't think it would go over too well. You just basically said no to your boss, to your biggest boss, to the CEO of the whole company. Does it matter if you know who somebody is? Yeah, it matters a lot. Even in a job, it matters a lot if it's your boss. It matters a whole lot if it's the CEO of the cosmos. And you don't know who he is, who you're dealing with here. And so the question that we want to look at as we look at this one Jesus Christ who died on the cross is this: is he the King of the Jews? Is he the King of you? This is the first message along these lines. Tonight we want to look at his death. Is he the king of the you? Is he the king of the Jews? Is he the king of you? We want to look at his death tonight. And then in the next three Sundays, we'll look at his resurrection. Is he the king of the Jews? And then we're going to look at, is he the king of you? We'll look at your death and your resurrection. But tonight, that's the question. Is he the king of the Jews? Pilate asked him this question, point blank. In John chapter 18, Jesus had had that last supper with his disciples. He had been taken by the soldiers. He was bound. They took him to Annas, the high priest's father-in-law. They talked to him a little bit. Then they moved him from there to Caiaphas, the high priest at that time. They went and they talked to Caiaphas. And then they decided to bring him to the Roman governor. And so they brought him to Pilate. And in John 18:33, Pilate asked him directly, "Are you the king of the Jews?" In John 18:28, God tells us this in his word. But first, let me pray. Father, we just ask that you'd speak to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it's living. Thank you that it's active. Lord, pierce our hearts tonight. Lord, get me out of the way. Speak to each of us. Let us hear and obey, following you. Make our hearts soft and receptive. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then?" said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. Is he the king of the Jews? And what do we mean by that? The king of the Jews. Well, when Pilate asked him, Jesus said, "Is that your own idea?" Maybe he was saying, you know, Jesus, he always got into the heart of people. Whoever he was talking to, you know, he always tried to delve right into your heart. Pilate asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus says, "Is that your own idea?" Maybe Jesus was saying, "What do you think? Are you thinking I'm the king of the Jews?" Or maybe he was saying, maybe Pilate was asking, "Are you a rebel?" In other words, are you going to lead a rebellion here? That's a possibility. Jesus asked, "Or did others talk to you about me? Or have you heard it from others that I am the king of the Jews?" The long-awaited king, that's what we're talking about. The Messiah. the king that they had been looking for and waiting for, the king that had been prophesied about for years and years and years. Prophecies like Isaiah 9:6, the king, the messianic king that would fulfill that prophecy. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's the question. Are you the Messianic King? Are you the Wonderful Counselor? Are you Mighty God in the flesh? Are you God in the flesh? Are you all you claim to be? So that is the question. Is he the King of the Jews? Well, let me turn it around to you. What do you say? What do you say to that question? Maybe you answer like Pilate. Pilate's answer basically was, I don't know. I don't know if he's the King of the Jews. We see that in his question in verse 33. And then in chapter 19, verses 7 through 12, we see it. We see Pilate basically wondering, are you the King of the Jews? That was Pilate's answer. I don't know. Maybe that's your answer tonight. Maybe you're sitting here and you kind of keep it to yourself. Maybe everybody sitting around you doesn't know it. But maybe deep within your heart, maybe there's some uncertainty that you don't share with other people. Maybe you don't know. You've got your doubts. You're not sure he is, but then at the same time, you're not sure he's not. You just don't know. And then sometimes you ask yourself, God in the flesh? Is he really God in the flesh? This is God with us? Or maybe you ask, is he really real? We pray and we say, where two or three are gathered in your name, there I am in the midst. Is he really here? He's really here. He's really real. Maybe that's you. Maybe those are some questions that you grapple with. And maybe you say, well, I just don't know for certain. But it's not that important. But then when you flip over to 1 John chapter 4, you find God's litmus test for what is important in true teaching. And God says, test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because there are many spirits that have gone out into the world that are not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. So in other words, God says, test every teaching, everything that you hear. And how do you know if it's from God or from the Antichrist? That's the only two options that we're given. How do you know if it's from God? Well, God says, if they acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. In other words, that Jesus has come. He's put on a human body. He's who he claimed to be, that he's God in the flesh. He's fully God and fully man. Do they teach that? If not, it's the spirit of the Antichrist. So does it matter whether you're doubting it? Yeah, it matters. It's the difference in life and death. It's the difference in heaven and hell. Now, do people ever doubt that are following Jesus? Well, John the Baptist, he was Jesus' forerunner. And God told him, the one that the Spirit descends on in bodily form like a dove, that will be the one. That's the Messiah. And John baptized Jesus and he saw the Spirit descend on Jesus like a dove. And so he knew, this is him. Well, John found himself in prison later. And I guess maybe he began to doubt. Maybe he began to think, is that really him? What am I doing here? What am I doing in prison? Did I get it right? Was that the King of the Jews? And so John gets his disciples and he says, hey, go out and ask him. Would you just go and see, just make sure that he, ask him, are you the one that was to come or should we expect somebody else? And so John's disciples went out and asked him, and what did Jesus say? Jesus didn't even answer. Like, oh yes, I'm the King of the Jews. No. Jesus said, tell him the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. In other words, let him decide. If I'm the King of the Jews, Thomas doubted. Jesus was raised from the dead. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe it unless I stick my finger in the holes in his hands and put my hand in his side. Well, Jesus appeared to him and said, put your fingers here, put your hand in my side. And Thomas stepped back and said, my Lord and my God. Maybe you sit there thinking, you know, no one can know. No one can really know. Maybe that's you. Your answer is, I don't know. Is he the King of the Jews? What do you say? Maybe your answer is, I don't care. It doesn't matter that much. Maybe you're like the soldiers in 19 verses 2 and 3. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went to him again and again, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they struck him in the face. Well, they were just mocking him. They didn't care whether he was the King of the Jews or not. They just put a crown of thorns on his head, said, Oh, here's your crown, King. Beat him over the head with it, spit on him. Hail, King of the Jews! They didn't care. Well, you know, there's lighter ways of not caring. Maybe you're not going that far. But maybe your answer is, well, I don't care. In other words, maybe you're just complacent about it. Maybe you've said, well, you know, just in case he is all he claim to be, just in case all this stuff is true, I'm gonna go ahead and say I believe it and I'll get baptized and I'll join the church. Just in case. Maybe that's you. I want to cover my bases. Maybe you'd say, well, it doesn't matter. You know, we're all headed in the same place in the end. I'll come out okay. I'm sure not that bad when I look at some of the people around me. I'm a good Christian. Matter of fact, you might not get this blatant, but it can be a lot more blatant than subtle. Christian and I were in a skateboarding store down at the beach. We took a night and a day at the beach over spring break, and we went in the skate store and we were looking at some of the hats, and one of the hats had a picture of Jesus and a picture of the devil shaking hands, and it said, Bury the hatchet. And I told Christian, I said, Oh man, Christian, this is gross. So you know what they're saying? That's the devil and Jesus shaking hands, and they're saying, Oh, let's just get along. Let's just set our differences aside and let's just all get along. And the guy working at the store was there, so I was kind of trying to be a witness. So I was talking kind of loud. And so Christian and I said, Well, you know, oh, that'll never happen. Well, that's ridiculous. Jesus made the devil. They're not ever going to get along. He was good in the beginning, but Satan is God's lackey. Maybe your answer is, I don't care. Maybe it's subtle. Maybe your answer is no. Maybe you're like the Jewish leaders. Verse 15. But they shouted, Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him! Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar, the chief priests answered. Is he the King of the Jews? Maybe your answer is no. Probably not. You probably wouldn't be here if your answer was no. Unless you're searching. Unless you're somebody who's searching, or unless you want to share your view, maybe. Now some Jews still feel the same way today. Some Jews today do not believe. It's no different from back then. There were Jews who believed that came to him, and then there were Jews that were saying, No, he's not the King of the Jews. Crucify him. It's the same way today. There are Jews today who do not believe that he's the King of the Jews. He's their king. And then there are Jews today that do believe that he's their king. I know one, Steve Wagner. He's a guy I see on Friday mornings, and he's Jewish, been Jewish all his life, but he's got an incredible testimony where he realized that Jesus was his king, that he was the King of the Jews, and he's a Christian. He's a completed Jew. He's a Messianic Jew, and there are many of them. There's whole ministries of Messianic Jews. You may have heard of Jews for Jesus. There's other ministries. And then there's other groups, there's other people that say, No, he's not the King of the Jews. When I worked at a hotel in New Orleans in the French Quarter, I had a friend named Mo. And he was of Arabic descent, and he drove a Nighthawk cab, and me and my friend Doug loved Jesus, and me and Doug would always talk about the Lord. And when Mo would come up, we were friends with him, but we'd talk to him, and one of us would say, Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. And Mo would get out of that cabin, and he'd get out of that cabin, and he'd say, Jesus is not God. He is a prophet. Jesus is not God. He is a prophet. We'd say, no, Mo, he's God. He's God. Mo was Muslim. There are others. Charles Taze Russell ended up having a lot of people follow him, and they ended up coming up with a whole other Bible, the New World Translation, and their translation reads, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. You see the difference? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what Scripture tells us. Charles Taze and his followers, that became the Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, maybe your answer is yes. Maybe your answer this evening is a resounding yes. Who is that that was dying on the cross? Is he the King of the Jews? Yes, yes, yes. Well, you know what? I believe we see this in chapter 19, verses 19 to 22. I believe God speaks to anyone and everyone around, anybody willing to listen, about who Jesus is. In 19 to 22, it says this, Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. I believe God used Pilate to just put a label on Jesus. Just to declare to the world, if there was any doubt with anybody, who this is. And all that passed by, no matter what language. Isn't that like God, to put His Word in all kinds of languages? God wants everybody to understand and hear and heed His simple Word. The King of the Jews. That's the Word from God. And maybe that's you. Maybe you say it with a resounding yes. Maybe you find 1 John 5:13 to be true, that God has written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. And you know it. And you know who He is. Romans 8 talks about how His Spirit, when we repent of our sins and we come to Him, His Spirit comes to live on the inside of us, and His Spirit testifies to our spirit that we are children of God. So He tells you, and you know from the inside, I am His. He is real. He is the King of the Jews. He's God in the flesh. He saved me. Well, I don't know what your answer is tonight. Is He the King of the Jews? What do you say? If you've said, I don't know, maybe you want to move to the yes. If you've said, I don't know, you're dealing with doubt. How can you deal with doubt? Read the Word more and more and more. Pray. Pray about it. There was a man that prayed, Lord, I believe. Please help me to overcome my unbelief. Let that be your prayer. He'll answer it. And faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. The more you saturate yourself in God's Word, the more faith He'll give you. Those doubts will disappear. If your answer was, I don't care, maybe it wasn't in a blatant way, but maybe you're just kind of complacent. Well, you know, you can firm it up. You can firm it up. It does matter. Just call to Him. And maybe you wouldn't say no, is He the King of the Jews? But maybe when you look at your life, the way you live, maybe you're living like The word is no. And you want it to be yes. Wherever you find yourself, see Jesus dying on that cross. Know who He is, who God proclaims that He is, that He is God in the flesh, dying for your sins. Come to Him. Ask Him for what you need. He'll give it. Chris is going to lead us in a hymn, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer. If there's something that you're dealing with, pray about it. Pray during this time. Just you and the Lord. If there's a decision that you need to make, come and I'll come down to the front just through this song and just let me know. If there's something you're dealing with and you want prayer and you want to share it, come and share it. But I encourage you to pray during this time as Chris leads us in this hymn. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Jesus, for what You've done. Thank You for giving Your life as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we thank You that You have proclaimed over and over who You are, that You are God in the flesh, that You are the ultimate sacrifice. Lord, if there's anybody dealing with a doubt or something else in their life, Lord, help them during this hymn, Lord, to talk to You about it, to get that straight with You. Speak to them, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I ask that you would just listen prayerfully and meditate as I sing and meditate upon what the Lord is speaking to you tonight.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land. A home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way. For the burning of the noontide and the burden of the day. I take, O cross, Thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of His face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain or loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory on the cross.
The seventh word. Luke 23:46. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit." When He had said this, He breathed His last.